you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, October 17th, 2017. Reading from Romans chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes by Jesus Christ. Oh, dear listener, welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And we'll continue right where we left off yesterday with a message as preached this past Sunday by Pastor Jason Schiffo of the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. He just began a five-part series on the Reformation. And yesterday his message began, Solo Christus, in Christ alone. As we learn, there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. It's all through Jesus Christ. So we'll continue right where we left off yesterday, and today and yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends is archived at greatnewsradio.org. Here's Pastor Jason Schiffo.
For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let's just have a moment of honesty. I'll step away from over here and I'll come right here. Let's have a moment of honesty. How many of us that's hard to read? It should be. Because it should be humbling. It should be humbling to realize that I fall short. Because there are days when I don't feel like I fall short. There are days when I feel pretty darn awesome. And yet only always is this God's declaration of us. Let me put it in these terms. Imagine if you set out to swim across the Pacific Ocean, it's 5,500 miles, nobody swam across it. Somebody swam across the Atlantic Ocean. I'm not sure what day they woke up and thought that was a good idea. But nobody swam across the Pacific Ocean yet. But imagine you woke up and you said, I'm going to swim across the Pacific Ocean. I'm going to start in San Francisco. I'm going to end in Japan. I'm going to deliver that box that the Barretts have to Abby, and it won't cost $286. Now, some of us on the beach might decide this is just a bad idea. Those of us who are rational might look out on the ocean and go, you know, I don't think I'm doing it. I want to get back and watch that series on Netflix. I just don't think I'm going to do this thing. Now, there are other of us who are a little crazy, just a little, and we'll swim out a few miles. And then we'll get out there. We'll remember when we were like 12 and saw Jaws. And we'll be like, I'm no longer an apex. Like, I'm not on the top of the food chain anymore in the water. I really should go back to the land where things go much better for me. There are others of us who are just a lot wackier and might make it 8 or 10 miles before we go, you know, this is just a horrible idea. I don't even know if I'm going straight. I don't even know where Japan is. I don't even like Japanese food all that much. So I think I should head back home. You know, a few will quit on the shore. A few will quit in the first 100 yards. A few might make it 8 or 10 miles. But here's the point of the story. Everybody falls short. Every single person falls short of what that intended thing was. And friends, we all fall short of the holiness, the glory of God. And therefore, we all are in need of a Savior. We all are in need of a Savior. Now, I don't want us to put the cart before the horse. We don't need someone to tell us how we should live and what we should do, because that's moralism. We need someone to take the punishment for our sins for us. We don't need someone to teach us how to swim, but we need somebody to jump in the water and to save us. See, many of us think, if I just learn how to swim, I'm going to be okay. And the point of the illustration was, you can't swim. You don't have flippers and you don't have fins, and even on your best day, you're going to get tired and sink at some point. That's the reason you're a person and not a dolphin. So we don't need someone to teach us how to swim, but we do need someone to jump in the water and to save us. By the way, Paul affirms this in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9 when he says this, and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. Paul's saying, I don't have righteousness that comes through the law. I can't swim. But I know one who can swim. and I need Him to jump in and save me because I sink far too often. Is there anybody in here who there are days where you feel like you're sinking? Maybe your problem is you're trying to swim instead of relying, trusting, and leaning on your Savior. See, what many of us need to do, why this is so uncomfortable, is that we need to accept the verdict of the judge, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Praise God for His honesty in telling us that. But most people today would argue with that. They don't like it. They don't like to be told that they've fallen short. And in doing so, they pretend like there's no consequence for their sin. And because there's no consequence for their sin, they're not convicted by it. That's the reason why evil seems to abound today. It's the reason why every day we pick up the newspaper and we're shocked. Because since people don't believe that they've sinned and fallen short, then they don't believe there's any consequence for sinning and falling short, then they don't feel any conviction for it, so they continue to do it. And this is important because what we desperately need is what the Bible says, that we freely are being given as a gift, which is the righteousness of God. But it comes when we only when we accept the verdict of the judge, when we realize that we cannot swim and that we desperately need Him to jump in and to save us. And this is the good news, friends. This is the good news. See, religion is our weak and feeble attempt to do our best for God. And God's good news is about what Christ has done, what He has offered, and the fact that He gave His best for us when we were at our worst. He did for us what we could never do. He gave to us what we could never possibly earn. Our entire eternity and all that we are rests upon one person, in Christ alone. Did you ever think about that? That all that you have, all that you know, all that you can be, all that you ever will be, all that you ever, it all rests on one person, in Christ alone. I want to spend the remainder of our time in a very practical way, giving you a diagram that I use often when I share about how God works. I write it on napkins all the time. It writes well on a napkin, by the way. So if you ever are with somebody and you're like, let me tell you what God did. Let me show you. I'll put it on a napkin. Very practical way. By the way, when we get done and you come up for communion, I pre-printed some cards so you could take one with you and you can be able to do it at home maybe or with your friends. And it helps us to illustrate what Romans 3:21 through 3:26 did. And it always points us back to the gospel. This measure that I'm going to show you, it always helps us to preach the gospel to ourselves first and then to others because it reminds us of the gospel. And so the first thing you would do, now you don't have to draw the little pictures I have on there, just draw a triangle, unless you're feeling quite artistic. But the first thing that happens that we see in this text is that we see that we begin down in the corner here, we got Jesus Christ, up on the top, that's significant for God the Father, and down in the bottom I've got a husband, a wife, and a little child, significant of the family or of people that we'll run into in the culture. Maybe you're in places where you're with kids, you're with women, you're with men. I kind of tried to give a whole deal there. And so the first scripture says this. It says, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. I want to stop right there and just use the first part of this verse. To whom God put forward, who did He put forward? Exactly. So on our napkin, the first thing we would do is we would start at Jesus Christ and put an arrow up. Jesus Christ offered Himself as a propitiation, as an offering to God on our behalf. Offered Himself up. And in doing so, propitiation, how many of you think that's like a tough word? You're like, that word, I'm not sure about that one. I want you to use another word. Atonement. And what does atonement mean? Atonement means, quite simply, break it down. I did this for my kids the other day at the kitchen table. At one mint. Which means, in this moment, Jesus Christ is creating a way that we can become at one with God. When you are sitting down with somebody and you're showing this and you're drawing that arrow up in the air, you can say to them, this is the action that Christ did in offering Himself that was beginning to open the door for us to come near to God. This is the moment where you can come near to God. Maybe you need to be reminded, this is the moment where God opened the door for you to come near to God. You know, as children, we often learn that Jesus died for our sins. And this is true. But what's awesome about Romans is Romans tells us the how of his death, how it covers over our sins, how it takes away our sins. First, by being a propitiation, by being a sacrifice, he satisfies the holy laws of God. And those laws relate to the holiness. We find it in the book of Leviticus and all the Old Testament. In fact, Peter says that in the New Testament, we must be holy just as God is holy. And all this goes back to our need for a sacrifice. Back in the Old Testament, when they said, put your hands on the head of a lamb. And Jesus says there's no longer the need for the blood of bulls and goats. And when he did this, he sat down. I love how Hebrews says this. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. So when Christ died, he took all the sins of Adam and Eve. He took all the sins of David. He took all the sins of you and I. All of it upon himself. The Bible says he was made sin, not sinner. He was made sin who knew no sin. And he did that for us. It's in Christ alone that God is satisfied in that. We had a parenting thing last night here. And I was really struck during the parenting thing. The guy who was teaching was talking about Jesus on the cross. It's not in my notes. It just comes to my head because it was so powerful. And he says, when Jesus is on the cross, and he says, Eloi, Eloi, Ala Sabbatani, my Father, why have you forsaken me? Jesus in that moment endured being forsaken by the Father so that none of us would ever have to be forsaken by the Father. We would never have to see God's back. Jesus endured that for us. And only he can satisfy what God has commanded in himself so that we can see God the Father in his fullness. So that we can, as we talked about last week in adoption, call him Abba Father. Prior to that, we would come every year and we'd lay our hands on a bull or a goat and we'd be like, oh, Lord, please, maybe we can see you. Maybe we can see you. And Christ comes and once and for all time, he makes a sacrifice in himself and he sits down and suddenly the curtain is torn open and in Christ alone, we see the Father and we go, Abba. Abba. It's an amazing moment. He paid it all. It's as the hymn writer says, and when before the throne I stand and him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it what? Some of us need to remember that because you're allowing the whitest snow to become stained with your own frustrations. Christ alone, white as snow. And so the first arrow is what the Son did in relationship to the Father. He satisfied God's holy laws. He took the wrath of God for our sins. That is that moment in Christ alone. Second, it comes in the verse where it says, for all who sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through redemption that is in Christ. And are justified by His grace as a gift. So the next arrow that we draw is from God to us. We're justified. So the first arrow is what Christ did in relationship to God. He satisfied what needed to be satisfied, making atonement to be a propitiation for us. And in doing so, we are made right through Christ with God. It's the doctrine of justification. Paul said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, for the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, but since through the law comes knowledge of sin. So now we come to Romans 3:21. But now Jesus came, he saw, he died, he rose again, and the righteousness of God has been manifested. And in Christ we receive this gift. We're justified. We're justified. You know, it's interesting. There's a children's song that I heard not too long ago. And the children's song says this. It says, climb, climb up, Sunshine Mountain, heavenly breezes blow. Climb, climb up, Sunshine Mountain, faces all aglow. Turn, turn from sin and doubting, look to God on high. Climb up, Sunshine Mountain, you and I. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But the problem with that song is this. Is that Romans 3:21 through 26 doesn't tell us to climb up. Instead, it tells us that salvation comes down, that grace comes down, that God kneels in humility in the person of Christ and takes upon Himself all that was needed to reconcile you to God. I love Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 8 that say this, "Have this mind amongst yourselves which is in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not account equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself." Listen to the humility, listen to the coming down, "but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And because of that, friends, you have redemption in Christ. So when we sit down and we draw this for our friends, when we sit down and we tell this to our friends, we say, look at Christ before the Father reached up and offered Himself as the sacrifice needed to satisfy God's holy law. And because of that, we are made right. We are justified by God. And through that, we receive redemption. That is the setting free that can only come to you through Christ alone. The only thing that can come. Because all of us on our own account, Romans 3:23, have fallen short. Our account on every account is fallen short. But that's not the end of the story, friends. That's not the period on the end of the sentence. Because it is followed by the pronouncement, and you are justified by His grace as a gift through redemption that is in Jesus Christ. See, far too often we live in a system in this world where all have sinned and fallen short would have a period on the end of the sentence, and that would be what you would be proclaimed, that would be what would be said about you, and the book would be closed and it would be done. And yet, even in the heels of that pronouncement, God Himself says, but you will be justified by My grace, and it will be a gift that you can never pay. You won't understand why you have received it. You will question it daily, but I want you to know that you have received redemption in Jesus Christ. Redemption, which is setting the captives free, bringing sight to the blind. You know, it reminds me that when Jesus began His ministry, He went into the synagogue and He unrolled the scroll and He began to read from Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me because He has anointed Me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent Me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering sight to the blind, to set liberty to those who are oppressed." That's what the gospel does. And if you're honest, there are times during the week where you don't feel free, where you don't feel like you have liberty, where you don't feel like you can see clearly, and those words apply to you too. You and I have an enemy who seeks to enslave us every single day. Every single day, try to remind you that you do not have salvation in Christ alone. When I was younger, I went through First Communion. Anybody ever do that First Communion thing? I did that, yeah. We went to a congregational church. That's what they did. I did First Communion. One of the questions that was asked during First Communion, I was thinking about this, it came to the forefront of my mind the other day, is the pastor whom I love dearly went on to be with the Lord, I just learned recently, after all the letters I mailed him were returned to me. Rev Ron. He would always say, if you died today and went to heaven, and God said, why should I let you in? What would you say? Now, I want to tell you what, I love Ron to death. But it doesn't work like that. But the question does put all of our cards on the table, doesn't it? And I want to urge you that instead of trying to come up with some other reason why, when you hear or you think about that kind of a question, I want you to think that when I get up there and I stand before God, and if He was to ask me a question like this, the only thing I could possibly say is, I'm with Jesus. I'm with Christ. Because I believe in Him alone. I rest in Him alone. I fix my faith and my affections upon Him alone. I live in Christ alone. And let me tell you what, friends, that is going to bring you into the battle because you have an enemy that does not want you to live in Christ alone. I want to end by reading a quote from Martin Luther that I think is really powerful. And this is after he had his aha moment that we had taken our eyes off of Christ. It comes from one of the first sermons that he gave not too long after having this moment. And it says this, "Terrible, unforgiving, that's how I saw God. punishing us in this life, committing us to purgatory after death, sentencing sinners to burn in hell for all eternity. And Luther says, but I was wrong. Those who see God as angry do not see Him rightly, but look upon a curtain as if a dark storm cloud has been drawn across His face. If we truly believe that Christ is our Savior, then we have a God of love. And to see God in faith is to look upon His friendly heart. Luther says, so when the devil throws your sins in your face and declares that you deserve death in hell, tell him this: I admit that I deserve death in hell, but what of it? For I know one who suffered and made satisfaction on my behalf, and His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and where He is, I so shall be. In Christ alone, my hope is found. We're going to take time to take communion together, to proclaim that the body and the blood is sufficient, that in all that Christ did, maybe as you take communion today, what you need to say is, where He is, I am too. And throw all you want at me, but I'm with Jesus. As you come up, I want to have an open time of communion. If you don't know who the Lord is, I would ask you to just stay in your seat. Maybe today is the day that you will make that important decision. You will say, I need Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I need to live in Christ alone. And if that's the case, I would ask you to come grab me and I want to pray with you. Grab one of the elders. We want to pray with you. But for those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, I want to ask you to stay in your seats and contemplate what Christ has done on our behalf. And then as you feel led by the Holy Spirit to come up and to take communion on your own and in your own way, there will be, as always, people to the left and people to the right to pray for you. If you need prayer, this is a wonderful time to be prayed for. Maybe you've been struggling with who Jesus is and what He's done. And what you need is, you need some brothers and sisters to come around you, to lay their hands upon you, and to declare to you that you have been set free, that you can see, that you are no longer blind, that you have gained a liberty that you sometimes lose sight of, and it is in Christ alone. Will you join me as we pray, and then we will have music, prayer, and communion, all centered upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You that in Christ alone our hope is found. We thank You for the words that Your Spirit put in the mouth of Martin Luther that said that where He is, so shall I be. Father, maybe today as we take the bread and we take the cup, that needs to be our declaration and our proclamation that where Jesus is, I want to be. And maybe for some of us, Father, it will be the admission that we have strayed miles from our Savior. But through His loving and glorious and beautiful offer, we come back. In fact, Father, Ephesians tells us that Christ will even cross the distance to get us because He loves us that much. He didn't die for some of us. He died for all of us, that we might believe, that we might draw near, that we might proclaim the greatness and magnificence of His name, that we might sing with the song of our soul that we live in Christ alone, the only place our hope is found. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. In Christ alone our hope is found. You're listening to a message as preached this past Sunday by Pastor Jason Schiffo of the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. He just launched into a five-part series on the Reformation, and so for the next four Monday and Tuesdays, we'll continue with this series during the Monday and Tuesday editions of Mark and Friends. If you're new to this concept of following the Lord Jesus Christ as being the one and only way or method or means to have a relationship with God and eternal life in heaven, let me invite you to call this free number, as there's some great folks that can answer all your questions about the Christian faith and having a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.